You know, this was one of those words this week, and it's funny because, you know, I told my wife on Tuesday, I said, sweetheart, I think I'm going to get, I need to prepare something else. And she said, why? And I said, I don't know, I just got a funny feeling. Well, the funny feeling was, pastor asked me to preach. So this has been brewing since like Tuesday. And I had a moment, I believe it was on Wednesday, in the staff office, where like, you ever get like a Holy Ghost shout in you? You know what I'm talking about? Josh is laughing. I promise I won't sing on the stage because I'll embarrass everybody. But I had a moment in the staff office as I was going through this and kind of preparing. I had one of these moments because I went to school to be a biologist. That's what I went to school for. And I had this revelation this week while I was studying this, and it ties in with something I actually know. Like, certifiably know. You know, because there's stuff that we know that, like, you don't really know, and then there's stuff that we have a piece of paper that says that we know. This is one of those things that I know that I know that I know. I got a piece of paper that says that I know. Can I get an amen? And here's the beautiful thing is that this is what I love about nature and what I love about science, because science never disproves God. It only further exemplifies the reality of who he actually is. Can I get an amen? So when I saw this thing, and we're going to get into it, I'm going to talk for a whole lot longer before I actually get to the thing, because the thing is at the end, because it's the best part. And we saved the best wine for last. But in the natural realm, there's all these principles that tie into the realm of the spirit. And if it's true in the natural, it must be true in the spirit. Tithing. Sowing. Happiness and joy and love and peace. Principles. Are you with me? Applying or appropriating the promise, principles within the Bible. So, okay, let's just get into it. I want to talk a little bit about wisdom, godly wisdom. I had this titled Wisdom That Elevates. I guess as a precursor, I'll say this. I'm a very young man. Amen. Some of the youth, that was a little questionable over there. I still feel like I'm a very young man. I don't claim to have a lot of wisdom. Can I just say that? Is that okay? I'm not saying I have all the wisdom, because I don't believe I do. The reason why I did this Bible study was not necessarily for you. This study was for me. And then I just got given an opportunity to speak, and if it's real for me, I just hope it's real for you. I need more wisdom. So I'm not speaking, this is not my certifiable piece of paper that says, I know it all on this area, is that okay? We'll get into the biology stuff later, and that's where the paper comes into play. But I have a lot to learn, that's all I'm saying. Is that all right? But when you abandon wisdom, you're left with just education. When you abandon wisdom, you're left with just information. When you abandon wisdom, you're left with chaos. Okay. Wisdom is actually more accurately described as knowledge put into action. Because I can have all the knowledge in the world, but unless I apply said knowledge, wisdom is knowledge put into action. I can watch 150 YouTube videos on how to change a tire and get a flat on the side of the road and still call AAA. It's not wisdom. I have the knowledge to provide the skill set, but I didn't apply said knowledge. Okay, let's take it from a different point of view. I have a gentleman that I was very fond of many, many years ago, probably about 11 or 12 years ago now. He had a nickname at the tackle store called Scotty Too Hottie. And Scotty was a really good guy. He was he's an E9 scout sniper for the Marines. And yeah, amen. It's men's conference. It's a hoorah. I don't know who did it, but and there's some things I learned from Scotty at the tackle store. Scotty had this saying, proper preventative maintenance, young man. Now, Scotty gave me a lot of really bad wisdom. We'll get into that later, too, because there's heavenly wisdom and there's earthly wisdom, and earthly wisdom is demonic, saith the Lord. We'll get into it in a minute, but Scotty had this saying. He said, proper preventative maintenance, young man. And as a young man in the fishing industry and trying to become a professional bass angler, I had this mentality of just run it until it breaks. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Scotty was of a different mindset. Maintenance it before it's broken, so you're not stuck on the side of the road. Somebody say, that's wisdom. See, Scotty told me and taught me that, and I don't know if anyone's ever changed a tire here tonight. Maybe I'm just speaking to me, but I think we had a men's conference, and some of the ladies are raising your hands, so kudos to you. Amen. But if you know anything about boats and water and trailers, water and steel don't mix. So if you back your boat into the water, especially salt water, enough times, the lug nuts that hold the wheel on eventually rust to the hub. And that's no big deal when you're going down the highway because you want the wheel to stay on until you don't. And you get a flat and then you're stuck on the side of the road of I-95 on your way to Jupiter at 5 o'clock in the morning and you're sweating and your knuckles are busted because you've broke every crowbar in the truck trying to get the lug nuts off of the hub that is rusted, just glued together. So Scotty taught me proper preventative maintenance, that if you put a little bit of grease on the, see, I got some people in here tonight that are nodding their heads. You can go ahead and pat yourself on the back. You got a little bit of wisdom. Pastor Mike did not have a whole lot of wisdom because still to this day, I got some rusted lug nuts on my trailers. That's why I said, this is not certifiable. I'm learning. But wisdom put into action, because see, putting a little grease on my lug nuts would take too much time and I didn't want to do it. But see, what would have helped me in the long run and got me back on the water a lot quicker and saved me a lot of frustration and saved my life a lot less chaos and saved me happening to call my wife at 5:30 in the morning to come meet me at the boat ramp. How many times have you bailed me out at the most ridiculous hours of the night because of a trailer that I didn't do proper preventative maintenance on? A lot. Somebody say, Pastor Mike, that's not wisdom. So knowledge put into action, the application of this knowledge is wisdom. My lack of wisdom is having the knowledge of how to keep it from rusting and doing nothing with it. Excuse me. I wasn't trying for that to be a mic drop moment. I'm just really thirsty. So, having all the knowledge but not doing anything with it. Somebody say it's in the application. I think of in Exodus, even with the Passover, and I know this is maybe a little off the track, but there's so much power in the application, because see, he said that you were supposed to kill the firstborn lamb, the perfect lamb, and drain its blood into the basin and take a bunch of hyssop and dip the bunch of hyssop into the blood that's in the basin and paint the two doorposts in the lintel. And the destroyer, when he would come by, he would notice and see the blood on the doorposts in the lintel and he would pass over. But understand that if he came by and only saw the blood in the basin, you had to apply the blood. So there's something to the application. So knowledge alone is not going to help. There's got to be an application of the knowledge that is given. So wisdom is an application of the knowledge that is given to us. Now we have earthly wisdom. Can we talk about that for a minute? This is the part where we can laugh for a minute before it gets serious. Because earthly wisdom will say, just use the Waze app. Speeding's all right. Listen, speeding is not wise. You get a ticket, you can get in trouble, the list goes on and on and on. Reckless driving, young people. Insurance, come on, a parent better shout me down. Amen. But earthly wisdom will say, listen, there's an app for that. Okay. I'll tell on myself again because people like that more. There was one time me and Nick and a couple other gentlemen, which I won't name drop, decided to take a boat offshore. And this boat had two fuel tanks and two engines. And we looked at the amount of gas that was in the boat and we said, it'll be enough. Somebody said, that's not wisdom, Pastor Mike. And about the time we got to, because the rule of thumb when you go offshore is when you burn half of what you have, turn around and go home. That's wisdom. Because if you've burned half of what you have enough to at least get back. Somebody say, that's wisdom. What's not wisdom is burning half of what you had and then going, bro, it's only 10 more miles. Like, it's just a little run, and I know the mutton snapper are there, and then we'll just beeline at home. Well, 10 miles turned to 20 miles, and we were huffing fumes the whole way through the inlet, and the port engine died like 150 yards from the boat ramp. Now, that's the grace of God, but not putting enough fuel in the boat or not leaving early enough is not wisdom. Okay. How about eating Chipotle before coming to a service? I won't explain it. I'll let y'all, your minds wander. There are certain days of the week I am not allowed to go to Chipotle. Tuesday nights because we got prayer on Wednesday morning. Come on, somebody say, that's not wisdom. It's okay to laugh in church. Can I get an amen? Amen. Seriousness is not a fruit of the Spirit, but joy is. And if there's one thing that'll separate the church from the world, it's an unspeakable joy in times of persecution and in times where we should be miserable and morbid and wore out. So stay away from that spicy food before service. Young people, waiting till the day of to study for that test. I'll pay the bill at the end of the month, honey. Am I talking to anybody tonight? Wisdom. You know, one area that I have been so stretched in ministry, and I'm so thankful for it, and I'll give you the flip side, because that's all silly examples of worldly wisdom. I am by nature not an organized person. That's why God gave me my wife. Because we are polar opposites in that regard. And where I completely struggle in organization, my wife is like 10x that, to the point to where it drives me insane. I've learned to embrace it, and I'm very thankful for it now, but it's caused some ruffles in the marriage at the early years because 7,000 post-it notes everywhere. So I've been stretched in ministry because if anyone knows, Pastor Naomi is the most organized woman I have ever seen on the face of planet Earth. And the integrity and the organization of this church, I can guarantee you, is single-handedly by her and Pastor Alex alone. I mean, she's brilliant. That's a good clap and shout and amen, thank you, Pastor Naomi. But somebody say, poor Pastor Mike. Because you got to understand, that's the polar opposite of me. I remember the first time she said that you need to plan the youth calendar out 3 months in advance, and I just about had a heart attack. Come on, staff members that aren't real good at this. You know what I'm talking about. But listen, in the stretch. Because before, I would be panicking like three nights before youth. What are we going to do? How is this going to be excellent? How can I plan? How can I get them there? Da, 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 da. Now, all of a sudden, I got a calendar. I'm like, listen, I know what's going on this day, and I know what's going to go on this day. And now that I have all this free time because the next 3 months are planned out, now I can plan and be more excellent and be better in that which with I'm doing. So the very thing that I didn't want to do was actually wisdom, and it stretched me and made me a better person. So now instead of pushing against the organization and saying, I just can't, Pastor Naomi, if you're watching tonight, I am so thankful that you pushed me so beyond my comfort zone in that area. Because listen, me and calendars just don't get along. But this year, in January, we submitted a year's worth of youth dates before the year began. That might not be a miracle to you, but that's a miracle to me. And I've learned that there's wisdom in that. Because chaos and disorder. Where do you think that comes from? So order and structure. Somebody say that's wisdom. Let's go to James 1 and 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is double-minded, unstable in some of his ways. Somebody say, don't be double-minded. Don't be wishy-washy. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. But if we lack wisdom, ask of God, who gives liberally. Here's the problem, though, and this is why I started out the way that I did, because, again, wisdom is an activation of knowledge that we have already gained. So we are acting upon the knowledge that we have, and this is the wisdom. So especially when we're talking about godly wisdom, when I take the word of God and this godly knowledge that I have and I act upon it, there's gonna be a good result. The fact of the matter is if we read through the book of Proverbs and we studied the life of Solomon and some of these other greats of old, and we saw the wisdom that they used, but there has to be an activation of it. We have to do something with what we've been given. Otherwise, we just have head knowledge. And so this is the problem, is there, I feel like there's a lot of times we ask God and we ask God, God, give me wisdom, give me wisdom, give me wisdom, give me wisdom. And we get so frustrated because we're like, I don't feel like I'm any wiser. Well, the problem is you're actually asking for knowledge because you're not doing anything with what you've been given anyways. I'm not talking to you guys because everybody here is amazing and on fire and burning with passion for the Lord. I'm talking about somebody who's watching from like Aruba. Are you with me? When we do something with the little bit that God has given us, he gives us a whole lot more. So when we ask him for wisdom, he says, right, here's the knowledge, and then we sit on our hands with it and do nothing with it. Let's go to James 3. There's a difference between wisdom from heaven and wisdom from the earth. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness, in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, I'm going to say that again. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. For this wisdom, what wisdom? Bitter envy and self-seeking does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. They got an app for that. It's only 10 more miles. He'll love you more if you're more pretty. Bingo. I don't know who said it, but she'll love you more if you have more money. Did I lose somebody? Earthly wisdom and
heavenly wisdom.
I'm not saying don't look pretty. Thank you, sweetheart, for looking pretty all the time. Husbands, provide for your families. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. But when the world says that you have to do this to get this, and it's loaded with self, somebody say that's demonic. Didn't you make a t-shirt that did that? That's demonic, dude, or something like that. Yeah, amen. Somebody say that's demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Somebody say that's demonic. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace, not by those who keep peace. And we don't have time to get into that. Pastor Alex taught the team in a private session. Did he preach that to the church, or was that private with the staff? Anyways, he taught the staff, I know for a fact, on the difference between a peacekeeper and a peacemaker. Do yourself a favor and look biblically at the differences between the two, because that is life-changing in and of itself. Amen? Proverbs 3 and 13. Watch this. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. Say, that's me. And the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand. In her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who will take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. The Lord by wisdom is founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Look at the promises of the wisdom of God within your life, just in Proverbs 3. You want to talk about living the blessed life? I mean, the wisdom of God will just destroy anxiety. Why? Because it puts perfect order within to your life. The wisdom of God will destroy poverty. Don't make me try to explain how much money Solomon spent on the temple. Billions with a B. Godly wisdom will deal with procrastination and all these different things within your life. Length of days, riches and honor. Anything you can desire, it can't compare when you operate with the wisdom of God within your life. Pleasantness and peace. So, let's get in to my little Holy Ghost shout moment. You cannot talk about wisdom within the Bible and not discuss Solomon. Solomon is regarded as one of the most wise within this amazing book that we have. So let's go to 1 Kings 4 and 29. 1 Kings 4 and 29. Now, I don't believe the guys in the back have this, but let me just read real quick for 2 Chronicles 1 and 10. This is Solomon when the Lord asked him, "What shall I give you?" He says, "Now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this great people of yours?" Verse 11, then God said to Solomon, "Because this was in your heart, you have not asked for riches or for wealth or for honor or for the life of your enemies, nor have you asked for long life, but you asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted unto you. And somebody say, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like. So now let's take a look at 1 Kings 4. So he asked God for wisdom and for knowledge so that he could lead correctly. Man, I wish we had a president like that. Some of you are laughing. That was a very serious statement from my mouth. That's what I am praying for, is a president like Solomon in the beginning. That's not a stab at Solomon, but I love the way that Solomon started. Can I get an amen? Okay, 1 Kings 4 and 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sands of the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan, the Ezrahite, and the Heman, Chalcol, Darda, the sons of Mahal, and his fame was in all the surrounding nations. 1 Kings 4 and 34. And men of all nations and from all the kings of the earth who had heard of his wisdom came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Now, that takes us to 1 Kings 5 and 1. Now, Solomon is busy rebuilding the temple. We're good with that so far. Solomon, again, it was in the billions in today's, if you were to try to move everything over, the amount of money that was spent, it would be in the billions. Solomon's temple was amazing. They were throwing silver to the ground as if it was trash because it was so just over the top. I mean, that speaks to some serious excellence in the house of God. But that's not the sermon tonight. So he's writing to Hiram to ask for wood because he's building the temple. Amen? And this is where we pick it up. In verse 1, 1 Kings 5 and 1. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants to Solomon because he had heard that they had anointed him king in place of his father. For Hiram had always loved David. Then Solomon sent to Hiram saying, "For you know that my father David could not build a house for the name of the Lord his God because of the wars which were fought against him on every side, until the Lord put his foes under the soles of his feet." Verse 4. "But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor evil occurrence." Can we leave that scripture, if you don't mind, can we leave that scripture on the screen for just a moment? Verse 4. "But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side." So he's just sitting in the palace, just having a big fat nap and eating Lay's potato chips. This man was busy doing the work of God, building the temple. I know a little bit about construction, and if you are even just a slightly bit involved in construction, that doesn't look like the way that we look at rest. Okay, I'm going to leave that because that's a different sermon for another day. "But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor evil occurrence." Adversary nor evil occurrence. Adversary nor evil occurrence. Okay. In the biological world, in the science world, mountain men alike, biologists, hikers, hunters, most of them, this is a pretty common term. There's something that is referred to on a mountain called the snake line. Snake line. Snake line. So the snake line is descriptive on a mountain. This is the point of elevation. It's the point of altitude in which snakes no longer exist. Let me read it again. Do you mind? Verse 4, please. "There is neither adversary nor evil occurrence." Okay. I don't know about you, but the Bible is very symbolic and representative, and there's lots of metaphors that are used, and everywhere that I see a metaphor of a snake within the Bible, it's generally tied to that same word. Solomon was extremely wise. The enemy, our adversary, is the author of chaos. Wisdom provides structure and order. So the snake line, and I'm going to take my time with this, but I'm bouncing over back and forth. So just, everybody good so far? This line on the mountain is an invisible, it's not like there's like they put like barricades out and say, snakes, you cannot go any further. This is just the point where the elevation becomes so high that the snakes don't, they're uncomfortable. And this is good news for the hunter, because when the hunter gets up there, he can kind of let his guard down just a little bit. Because the availability of stepping on a snake and getting bit is much less above the snake line. I'm trying not to have a Holy Ghost shout right now, but I know where I'm going. So my wife says when I get excited, sometimes I leave people behind because I start talking like an auctioneer, and then people are like, wait, what did he say? And I'm like somewhere else. So I'm trying to slow down with this. There is a place that wisdom can take you that is above the snake line. There is a place that can take you. Wisdom will provide order and structure within your life, provided you apply the principles that are locked up within this word. When you begin to apply the principles locked up in this word, you take a head knowledge and you activate it, you begin to operate in wisdom. Solomon had lots of wisdom. I would throw the conjecture out tonight that Solomon lived above the snake line. Now, before I get too excited, understand that if you go home and study this, you will, and some of you probably already know this, there are records of snakes above the snake line. That's a fact. They just don't stay up there very long. They go up, they get real uncomfortable, and they come right back down. It's important to say, because when you lay something like this out, people go, well, Pastor Mike said that if I just have all the wisdom, that it's just the devil can't touch me, and I'm out of the zone, and he'll never get around me, and I'm just so far away from the devil, he'd be so uncomfortable, he won't get anywhere near me. That's not true. Because there's still occurrences of the snake up there. What I'm trying to lay out to you is that if you operate in the wisdom of God and you have order and structure within your life, you're giving yourself and putting yourself into an atmosphere that makes him uncomfortable. I don't want to live in a place that the enemy is comfortable. I don't want to live in a place where I'm operating in the earthly wisdom, which is his breeding ground. I don't want to live in a place where he resides. I want to live in a place where he doesn't like to be. And although he may come up and tempt me, although he may come up to where I'm at, he doesn't like where I'm at, so he goes back down to where he belongs. Wisdom will get you there, but you got to apply it. Somebody say, I want to live above the snake line. See, this was the point in the office when I just went absolutely nuts. And I was like whispering to my wife, like, you gotta live above the snake line. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Watch this. Luke 21 and 15. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or to resist. Oh, somebody say, I wanna live above the snake line. What's coming out of your mouth? Matthew 15 and 18 says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. So are we only speaking the wisdom of man, or are we speaking the wisdom of God? Are we applying the wisdom of God to our lives, or are we just applying the wisdom of man? Well, Elon Musk said, I must do this to get rich. Well, I'm going to take the application. Oprah Winfrey said, I got to do this to be happy. See, the earthly wisdom is below the snake line. When I take earthly wisdom, it's not from above. It's sensual. Somebody say it's demonic. When I begin to operate in that earthly wisdom, I'm putting myself in a position to be in the same atmosphere, in the same realm in which the adversary lives. I want to be in a place where he doesn't like to be. You know, they have the saying that, like, you know, a fly doesn't land on a hot stove. Well, snakes don't live above the snake line. So if it works for that, it's got to work for wisdom. And you know, all the chaos and things that I had in just youth ministry, there's a lot. It's youth. You know, 90% of it was dealt with a little wisdom from my pastors. Mike, why don't you just get organized? But all of a sudden, some organization and getting some stuff put in place and some planning, some good godly counsel and some good godly wisdom, all of a sudden placed me above the snake line. And now all of a sudden, the anxiety that I'd have planning a youth camp, it's not that big of a deal anymore. And all of a sudden, the chaos that I created, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me tonight. The chaos that I created was dealt with because of some good wisdom, godly wisdom. And it placed me in a position to not be such an easy target. That's why I say that, yes, snakes can go above the snake line, the imaginary topographical line on a mountain. They can go up there, but they don't like to. And when they do go up there, they don't stay there very long. So how much chaos and calamity and craziness do you have in your life right now? Are you living above the snake line? Are we applying? Because wisdom is the application of that knowledge. Are we actually doing what the word says? Not just hearers alone. But you got to do something with it. If the word says turn away from things that God doesn't love, well, when he says love your wife, when the word says to honor your mother and father, wisdom, we can quote it. There's people in here that can quote it much better than me. But are we doing it? That's the question. Because that's wisdom. I can know to put grease on that lug nut, but unless I do it, don't do things that are against God. Follow his word. Love God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto thee. Great, Pastor Mike, you can quote it, but are you doing it? Because when you apply it, that's wisdom. And that places you above the snake line. Father, in this place tonight, my God, I thank you for your word. Father, I pray in this place tonight and for everybody under the sound of my voice, all of those tuning in online, Father, I pray that there would be supernatural wisdom available to us. God, I pray that we would take your word and the knowledge that's in your word and begin to apply these principles to our life. Because when we see that application, I know the promise is there. Father, I pray for every person in this place that we would seek after wisdom, that we would seek after godly wisdom within our lives. That we would make the enemy so uncomfortable to be around us because of the order and the structure that we find in your word. The author of destruction would be so confused and so uncomfortable around us because of the wisdom that only comes from you. Father, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We love you so much, Lord. I pray for every single person that came out tonight. God, I ask that you would go with them, that you would keep them, and that you would bring us back here tomorrow, expectant and ready, on fire for you. And Father, we love you so much. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, and all the saints agreed and said, amen.